Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
It was in 1983, about 500 of us in our 20s, and we were crying out to God for 21 days, and the Lord spoke audibly. It was the most remarkable thing that the Lord has ever given me in my life. And he said, do 24-hour prayer in the spirit of the Tabernacle of David. David had 4,000 full-time singers and musicians, 4,000 that were full-time staff. And I thought, oh, Lord, yes, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know why. Because I know that the solemn assemblies, the crying out night and day, is going to be at the very point of the arrow of God's end-time purpose.
That is Mike Bickle of the International House of Prayer based in Kansas City. He's been around for a long time, but he's back on the forefront. He believes assembling people for these solemn assemblies. What does he hope to accomplish? We're going to get an update on Mike Bickle, this end times teacher. He has a very peculiar end times scenario at work with the International House of Prayer at its center. Here in the first half hour of Issues Etc., Dr. Andrew Jackson joins us. On this Tuesday afternoon, September the 1st, you can join us as well with questions or comments for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter questions or comments to us right here in the studio, @IssuesETC. @IssuesETC. In the second half hour of the program, Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for our regular conversation with her, teaching a Sunday school lesson today, David Becomes King. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us. Gay marriage in Vermont is now official. There are already a few Vermontians, I think that's what they may call themselves, Vermontians, who are married now in a same-sex relationship. We'll have some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line a little later in that second hour, and then we'll round it off talking about Joshua, Old Testament. What is he? Is he a judge? Is he a king? Is he a prophet? He seems to be a little bit of all of those things together. He's a military leader, first and foremost. We'll talk about Joshua, the Old Testament saint, remembered by the church today. Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Talkback@IssuesETC.org or Twitter us @IssuesETC. @IssuesETC. Dr. Andrew Jackson is a seminary professor and ordained minister in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. He's author of the book Mormonism Explained and author of an article in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Forerunner Eschatology, Mike Bickle's End Times Teaching and the International House of Prayer. Dr. Jackson, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to be with you.
What do Mike Bickle and his many followers believe they're doing?
Well, in general, Mike Bickle believes that the end times, the coming of Christ and the one world government of the Antichrist will occur within this generation. And so as John the Baptist, in a sense, was raised up by God to announce to his people the first coming of Christ, Mike Bickle believes that in these end times that God is raising up an army of forerunners that will be a prophetic voice in preparing the church and also eventually in defeating the one world government of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation.
So I take it he has a rather peculiar reading of the book of Revelation or other eschatological material in the Bible.
Yeah, there's a broad, in the church in general, there's a broad perspectives on end times and book of Revelation. I would put him, yes, there's a twist. He's basically, in a sense, a dispensationalist, meaning it would be in the genre of a Hal Lindsey type of end-time viewpoints, although he doesn't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. He believes that the church will actually be greatly empowered to go through the Great Tribulation and actually participate with God through especially intercessory prayer, prophetic intercessory prayer, to release the great judgments of the Book of Revelation on the one-world government of the Antichrist on Earth.
What is the International House of Prayer? What role does it play in Mike Bickle's view of what he would say is this last generation before Christ's return?
Well, I think as you your intro emphasized, Mike was influenced by a prophecy by Bob Jones in 1983 that God was going to raise up a young army of Christians that would be focused in on 24/7 prayer, and in so doing, in a sense, usher in the end times. And so he was, for a long time, as you mentioned, a local pastor of a church, Metro Christian Fellowship, and in 2000 he left that church as a senior pastor, and he started what is known today as the International House of Prayer, located in Kansas City. And basically, it is the acronym that's often used for that is IHOP. And it is a 24/7, it would be like a sanctuary and with seats, and there's a band, different bands that play all around the clock. And people can come in and pray or just sit there or walk up and down the aisles or whatever they want to do. And they do this 24/7 and focus in on intercessory prayer and worship.
And again, they believe that this intercessory prayer, this en masse intercessory prayer, somehow does it hasten or does it simply attend or usher in the judgments preceding Christ's return?
Well, I think it's a combination. It's often difficult to kind of unravel some of the teaching, but basically, I would say, yeah, it's a means of intimacy with God. It's a means of becoming the pure bride of Christ before God, and also to in that way, there's a precondition that the church would be fully dedicated, completely dedicated to God, and through this, they call the harp and bowl model of worship and prayer, that there will be, in a sense, an ushering in of the second coming through this process. And they hope to multiply these international house of prayer all over the world.
How successful have they been so far? He talks about multitudes, armies, thousands. How are they doing?
Well, I think that in Kansas City, it's been very successful. What I became concerned about was it's a young adult movement, basically, and so because Mike Bickle had a congregation there already for many years, had many conferences during the kind of the controversial time they call it Kansas City Prophets period. In the 80s and 90s, and so he already had, in a sense, an audience. But it is growing. Many people, young people, are coming to become staff there and participate in this kind of ongoing 24/7 prayer movement. Around the world, it is influencing the church, and that's one of the reasons that I felt like I wanted to write on it, really to explain what Mike is teaching. And to really increase the dialogue and conversation, especially among pastors and leaders, and also parents whose children are really cloistered or involved in the International House for IHOP itself in Kansas City.
What are your primary concerns? With about a minute or so before we take our first break.
Well, I think my primary concern is that Mike is a tremendous inspirational type speaker, and he's kind of matter of fact in how he speaks. And just as you heard him at the very beginning, he inspires a lot of people, and he's drawing a lot of young adults, young people. And I remember when I came to the Lord out of high school, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I was very zealous for the Lord, but I really didn't have any kind of mature mental filter, biblically certainly, or even the experience of life, really to discern and able to go to the Bible myself and get clarity on what was being taught. And I think a lot of these young people are being drawn by the music. They have tremendous bands, but the teaching now is all wrapped up in this end time teaching. And I'm very concerned that these young people just do not have they're not equipped and do not have the ability to discern what is being taught. And I feel Mike needs some accountability and interaction. And I think pastors and Christian leaders and Christian parents need to begin to dialogue about what is really being taught by Mike Bickle, and then to expand that conversation both inside and outside the International House of Prayer.
I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, the 1st of September. Are you familiar with Mike Bickle and the International House of Prayer? I want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or if you're following us on Twitter, you can Twitter a question or a comment to us right here in the studio as well, @issuesetc, @issuesetc. Our guest, Dr. Andrew Jackson, is seminary professor and ordained minister in the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. He's author of the book Mormonism Explained and author of an article in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal titled Forerunner Eschatology, Mike Bickle's End Times Teaching and the International House of Prayer. There's some terminology popular among the followers of Mike Bickle and in his teaching. One of the words he's repurposed is apostolic. We'll find out on the other side of the break what Mike Bickle means when he talks about apostolic. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss gospel reductionism. Our guest tomorrow will be Dr. Scott Murray. When we come back, more on the end times teachings of Mike Bickle of Kansas City and the International House of Prayer. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Beautiful friend, this is the end, my only friend, the end of our...
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or you can make a credit card donation at our website, issuesetc.org, Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth. Issues, etc.
The reason IHOP exists in the mind of God, in the heart of God, and why He told us to do this is because intimacy with God. We want to touch His heart, intercession, we want a breakthrough of power, but the forerunner messengers, God's raising up messengers.
The Lord is raising up an army of intercessors who will partner with Him in a place of prayer that will actually result in releasing the end time judgments from heaven on the nations of the earth.
That's Mike Bickle, and one of the staff members at the International House of Prayer based in Kansas City, describing what they believe are their activities that will usher in the second coming of Christ in this generation. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking with Dr. Andrew Jackson about the end times teachings of Mike Bickle in the International House of Prayer. On the phone from Oakwood, Illinois, Rebecca, thank you for waiting.
Hi, Pastor. I had a question for your guest. I have a lot of friends that have recently gotten into the IHOP movement, members of my former church, and I see a lot of times, like on Facebook, their statuses will say stuff about, I'm in love with Jesus, he's coming for me, I'm his bride, I'm beautiful to him, things like that. And I'm wondering if your guest has heard anything about overuse of the term bride of Christ, but in reference not to the church, but to individuals.
Interesting. Thank you very much, Rebecca, and thanks for listening in Oakwood. What do you know, Dr. Jackson?
Well, undergirding, we would all agree that the bride of Christ is a major theme in the New Testament describing the church. So we all want to be the bride of Christ. We all want to have intimacy with God. And so a lot of the themes that Mike Bickle emphasizes is very pertinent to the New Testament. But what people don't fully understand is that Mike has gone, in my view, an extra step. And he has allegorized the Song of Solomon and utilized it as a love letter, in a sense, between believers and God. And in a sense, it's gone even to the point of, literally the idea of being a bride of Christ. So this sensationalized language, even sensual language that you often hear out of IHOP folks, comes out of Mike Bickle's teaching on the Song of Solomon and how he applies that to what a personal relationship with God should be, and the intimacy that we should have with God. And I think, in my view anyway, it really borders on a sensual sense versus what I consider to be a true biblical understanding of a personal relationship with God.
What does Mike Bickle mean when he uses the adjective apostolic?
Well, Mike's, there are different ways to describe end-time teaching, and he holds to a teaching what he calls apostolic premillennialism. Premillennialism has been around a long time, but apostolic premillennialism, as Mike uses it, and as far as I can, grasp his understanding of this, is that we believe that we're the apostolic church, meaning that we are our foundation is in the apostolic scriptures, and that the apostles of Christ are the ones that receive direct revelation from God upon which we build our faith and grow. But Mike has, in my view, kind of elevated the book of Revelation beyond the apostolic canon to the degree that he understands that in these end times, a church is going to emerge that, in a sense, will experience much more than even the New Testament apostolic church experienced. And he considers and defines the end time church, the forerunner church, Moses stood before Pharaoh and declared the judgments of God upon Egypt, that the end-time church will also have the same miracles by which it will release the miracles of judgment on the Antichrist kingdom, and then also that we will experience many more miracles and supernatural events occurring in the end times than in the New Testament church. So he uses the term apostolic in that sense.
Well, one of my concerns is that since Mike Bickle seems to have committed himself to the return of Christ in this generation, and he is being followed by, as you've pointed out several times here, large numbers of young people who will live to the end of this generation, most of them. If he turns out to be wrong, what are the dangers there for those who have believed that he really does have at least a general timetable for the return of Christ?
Yeah, I think this is my major concern. This is why I wrote the article, is that there is, you know, if you've been around any length of time in ministry and you're a student of church history, you know, this isn't something new. There's been individuals that have proclaimed that they knew the season of the second coming of Christ. And we even know in the New Testament itself that there were false teachings or exaggerations concerning the second coming of Christ, even in the New Testament period. So I am very concerned. I have this a very deep concern on a lot of these young people. Again, I kind of go back to when I was a young believer out of high school and very zealous and very involved in wanting to live my life for Christ. And, you know, you're dependent upon mentors at that age. You're dependent upon individuals to really teach you biblical truth. And you're not in a position, really, to really grasp a lot of the depth of understanding of the end times and some of these things. So I have a lot of concern that, and I express them to Mike. I actually let Mike read my article, and we commented, and also we had a long phone conversation before publication of my article about the article itself and also my concerns. I think Mike needs to really understand his preaching style, which again is very matter of fact, very inspirational, but he doesn't provide enough qualifiers, in my view. And in that sense, the young people are very influenced and can be influenced in the wrong way.
He's more known now for International House of Prayer and then of late of this new phase of this, but he does have its roots in what's called the Latter Rain movement, an eschatological view. You briefly mentioned some of that earlier without using the term. Describe it for us, if you would.
Well, I don't really try to emphasize that in my article, in the Latter Rain movement issues, simply because I really want to deal with what is Mike teaching now, not so much what is he taught in the past. But certainly, when you get to this idea that the church will be triumphant through the Great Tribulation, which I don't think, you know, is a real off-the-wall interpretation, but I think that there can be some view of the church and some of these triumphal views of the church that can be somewhat misguided. So I would just suggest if people are interested in looking at the Latter Rain movement that they just Google it and they'll get more information and they can see some of the connections.
When Mike Bickle talks about David's tabernacle or the tabernacle of David, he seems to be, as you say, kind of repurposing an Old Testament, Old Testament narrative there. How so?
Well, Bob Jones, one of the more controversial prophets of the Kansas City prophets in the early days, who in 1983 so-called prophesied this into, you know, that the IHOP movement would exist or this, you know, youth movement and prayer movement, intercessory movement. And in that, Bob Jones said it will be in the spirit of the tabernacle of David. And this is certainly rooted in the latter day or the Latter-day movement of the idea that there will be a re-emphasizing based in Acts chapter 15 that God will restore the tabernacle of David. And in my article, I go into some of that because Mike Bickle has taught, and in Charisma magazine, there's been a number of articles that he's written related to this, that they're the veil between the Holy of Holies and in the most holy place was not part of the tabernacle of David. And so he kind of emphasizes this for the New Testament worship of intercession and, again, the harp and bowl model. And I challenged him on this teaching, and he actually said that his articles that I bring up in the Charisma magazines were actually written by a ghostwriter. And he wasn't really able to, he didn't look at them before they were published. So in that sense, he says many of the things that are written in concerning the tabernacle of David, he no longer holds. which I think is in a good direction. At least he's going in a good direction in that way. However, there's still a lot of people that have been influenced by him that continue to perpetuate this teaching concerning the tabernacle, the restoration of the tabernacle of David.
All right. Finally, then, with only about 15 seconds, should parents be concerned if their young people, their children, become involved in the International House of Prayer with only about 15 seconds?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I would say in a positive way, I think we all want our young people to be committed to God and to really give their lives for the kingdom of God globally and in world mission. But I do think that there should, Christian parents need to be aware, first of all, of what is being taught by Mike Bickle concerning the book of Revelation, concerning the end times. And I think they need to get involved in, you know, dialoguing with their children that are involved in this movement. And I think it would be extremely helpful for them to be engaged in what is really going on. And I would also expand that.
Well, we're out of time, Dr. Jackson. Thank you very much for being our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back, teaching a Sunday school lesson, David Becomes King. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Villa in Finland is online. Villa, welcome to Issues Etc.
This thing about forgiveness, I think Jesus forgave on the cross, and so did Stephen, and this shows only that the Holy Spirit can do that. That was what I wanted to say.
Villa, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Finland.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org. And click on-demand audio.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
According to the Wall Street Journal, those senior citizens who were all riled up about rationing at their town hall meetings had good reason to be mad. One of the journal's headlines read, "Obamacare is all about rationing." It said the Obama administration's goal is to reduce health care spending by 30%. And Mr. Obama said end-of-life care accounts for 80% of the total health care bill. So where do you think he'll cut? The administration plans to use comparative effectiveness research, which would decide whether a treatment will improve your health enough to justify the expense. In England, the government-controlled plan won't spend 50 grand unless it'll add at least 1 year to the person's life. Do you want a bureaucrat making those health decisions for you?
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.